First of all, Dr. Ballard, can you bring us up to date?
I've now acquired my own ship, the Nautilus, and it's a ship of exploration that has been, since I brought it online in 2009, has been exploring the Black Sea, the Aegean, and the Mediterranean. And there we've been, a lot of our work's been looking at the ancient history that lies beneath the sea. We just recently discovered a shipwreck from 500 BC that had human remains aboard, and we've discovered probably more ancient shipwrecks in the deep sea than anyone on the planet. I mean, we've really sort of figured out where they are, and the Ancient Mariner did travel great distances from shore, and that the deep sea, because it's beyond the reach of humans, human history there is in many cases in very high states of preservation and undisturbed, so there's a great potential for that. We've also made the decision to move the Nautilus to your neck of the woods for a while. We're going to be transiting the Atlantic in the spring and to work for about 3 years probably in the Caribbean and the Gulf of Mexico, looking at, again, human history. We're also looking at natural resources. Most people don't realize that half of the United States of America lies beneath the sea, and we have better maps of Mars than our own country.
Well, as a matter of fact, I know that that's something that you've been telling people for a while, and I guess what I hear you saying is that while some members of the scientific community think that we can learn more about Earth by traveling into space, you seem to be saying that we can learn more by going down rather than going up.
Well, that's true. I mean, just in practical sense, I mean, you know, we need to be trying to get a return on our investment, and the oceans offer tremendous potential in resources, oil, gas, minerals, fisheries, cultural histories. And at some point, we have, you know, we'll be moving out onto the ocean. That's already happening, as you know, in the Gulf of Mexico. Thousands and thousands of people are out at sea. We haven't seen yet the families moving out, but I see that happening in my lifetime.
And, you know, we have a large group of marine scientists in our own area that we're quite proud of. Do you see yourself working with organizations such as the Heart Research Institute of Gulf of Mexico Studies?
Well, the way our program works is our ship is beaming ashore everything. And so it's anyone can participate in the expeditions. We don't try to own the data or own our discoveries. We're doing them live to involve more scientists, but we're also doing it live to involve young people. We have tremendous amount of programs and educational outreach. We have a program called the Jason Project. We have probably our largest population of students, it's mostly in middle schools, are actually in Texas. So I expect organizations all throughout Texas and along the coast, including the one you mentioned, taking advantage of our ship of exploration when it enters the Gulf in the spring.
Well, this has to be exciting news for everybody to know that you're actually going to be here. And, of course, the Nautilus carries a very famous name as well.
Well, that was my hero as a child. I read the book 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and I wanted to be Captain Nemo. And naturally, when I acquired my own ship, I was compelled to call it the Nautilus.
Now, tell us a little bit about Interspace Rhode Island. Is that still going strong?
Yes. That is really our link to land. It's called the Interspace Center. If you go to our website, we have a couple, but a good one is the oceanexplorationtrust.com. And you'll see the technologies that we're doing. And it's really the future as far as we're concerned in that we don't even have to be on the ship anymore. It's still fun to go out once in a while. But we have command centers linked by a huge facility in Rhode Island at the Graduate School of Oceanography, where I'm a professor in oceanography there. And we've built a telecommunication center that is connected in real time to our ship of exploration. So when you see something, you know, thousands of feet beneath the sea with our vehicle system, see it in high definition, you immediately see it in the Interspace Center. They're standing the same watches. And then that's at the same time dumped onto the Internet And we're using a new internet that most people probably aren't aware of called Internet 2. And certainly Texas A&M and all the universities across the country now have this much broader bandwidth. It's about 10 gigabits of bandwidth. And as Internet 2 creeps into our society, which it's already doing, schools in Rhode Island are all on I2 now, you'll be seeing more and more electronic travel. And in fact, that's really, you know, the movie Avatar was all about leaving your body and entering another body. And basically, we do that every day. But our bodies are undersea robots.
Let me ask you one other question. How did things change for you after the discovery of the Titanic? Did that sort of help bring about a real boost in interest in the deep ocean?
Well, I think it for me it had two impacts. It showed me that the deep sea is a museum, that because of the dark depths, cold temperatures, and great pressures, that time is really in suspended animation. And we've been working in the Black Sea, for example, where there's no oxygen, and we found perfectly preserved shipwrecks. In fact, we just found one from 500 BC that had human remains on it. So that was a big realization, that there's more history in the deep sea than all the museums of the world combined. The other was the children's response to my discovery when I got 16,000 letters from kids in the few weeks after I got home, all saying the same thing. What do I have to do what you do? And can I go with you next time you go? That's what led to our educational outreach, particularly the JASON Project. And again, if you go to our website, you'll see all the different programs we've developed for schools, for Boys and Girls Clubs, the Boy Scouts, and all of that linked to our ship in real time through telepresence technology. And we bring kids out with us. We have honors programs. We have JASON Argonauts. We have teachers. So we're very much involved in STEM education right now, because we find that, like you just said, exploration can inspire kids, but it can hopefully inspire them to do their homework.
Well, that's it all sounds very, very interesting, and I sure want to thank you so much, Dr. Bowder, for taking the time to talk with us today, and best of luck as
you
continue.
Well, I hope you'll come to my presentation. I got some a beautiful video and stills to show you of our undersea exploration, the past, present, and future.
Well, I certainly plan to be there, for sure.
All righty.
Okay, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.